Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Time for the best pay-per-view of 2023, as voted for.
When you did that, you...
Oh, sorry. Right.
You did it the last one as well, so I thought I'd make a bit of it.
Oh, sorry. I mean, this is great for audio listeners. Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
Welcome to the Wrestle Podcast. I am Luke Owen, D-A-D. I'm joined by Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by the professor, the truth, your Jam That champion, Dan Layton, as we are going to count down the top five wrestling pay-per-views of 2023, not just voted by us, but also voted by the extended WrestleTalk family, WrestleTalk.com writers, our moderators, our $100 Patreon backers, a whole collective. Over 30 people have submitted their nominations. The way that it works is, when you submit your nominations, your top pick gets 5 points, your second pick gets 4 points, so on and so forth. We discussed during the best wrestlers, that's called...
Proportional representation. There it's how they go. Vote for best picture at the Oscars.
Oh, is it really?
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's why the consensus pick wins. The one we all go, yeah, I'm all right with that.
Sure, yeah.
And also Green Book.
So I can tell you that missing out, as we always do, who missed out on the top five this year? Survivor Series got 12 points across 6 nominations.
That's really just a one angle vote there, isn't it?
Yeah, it was Extreme Rules got it last year.
Yeah.
AEW All Out got 22 points across 7 nominations.
Oh, yeah, a great show.
Yeah.
So where would that have ranked? Is that number 9th?
That's 9th.
Right.
Yeah, number 9, that one. I didn't think, I mean, I think people going into it probably wouldn't have voted because that was a part of the big build discourse. In at number 8, AEW New Japan's Forbidden Door, 28 points with 10 nominations, one of which was top level. Mm. And then at joint...
Was that Tempest?
And then at joint 6th, isn't it weird, like, just to go on the Forbidden Door, CM Punk versus Kojima's on that show?
Yeah.
What a weird year this
elbow
has been.
Elbow to the dick.
Yeah, with the elbow to the dick. And him doing, like, referencing back to that, Kojima!
Yeah.
Kojima! Lariat! And in joint 6th, both with 30 points, one of which got 11 nominations, top level, one top level, one of which got 10 nominations with a top level, AEW Revolution and AEW Wrestle Dream.
Wrestle Dream is that high?
Yeah, because it was an incredible show.
Oh, yeah, it was. It's the Copeland debut, and I forget that Zack Sabre Jr. Danielson was that.
And
it just feels like it exists separate.
Swerve and Hangman 2 was also on that show as well. Like, I thought Wrestle Dream was actually going to get higher. I thought that was going to be the highest rated AEW show of the year.
Maybe it's because I just felt like the conversation moved on so quickly.
What? The Revolution, I would have put a bit higher.
Because of the Iron Man match.
Because of the Iron Man match, yeah. Danielson versus MJF.
Me too.
So I can tell you, as we get into our top five now, with 31 points, 13 nominations, one of which was top level, WWE Backlash.
What a show. Puerto Rico.
What a show. What a crowd.
From the opening moments, that drone shot from the outside.
What a shot.
I've watched that drone shot more than I've watched CM Punk return.
That drone shot, which was in all of 480p, was genuine. Like the actual drone itself, so let's do that all the time. but they're on it the, was in very low quality.
Well, you can't do it all the time. I doubt you could clear that for health and safety in a United States arena.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Because that, surely that's why they've not done it again.
Yeah, they could do it here. But then they'd have to
bloody
go
health
through.
And safety up the wazoo in Britain.
All like past the all bar one, like red, you know, up and around through security. They, it stops for a minute while they check it. They pat it down.
Because that's Gordon Ramsay's burger restaurant. but yeah, I mean, obviously, for me, it's Bad Bunny and Damian Priest.
Oh my god,
that Bad Bunny entrance is one of the best things in WWE.
I've watched it about five times last week.
Yeah, I think we were doing a survival series, the Patreon exclusive one is available for our $10 backers, and SP3 made the point when going through AEW pay-per-view and a WWE pay-per-view main events. He said, we all know it should have been Damian Priest and Bad Bunny, but it was Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes. But I don't think anyone really talks about that Brock-Cody match. Because
was it?
Yeah, Brock-Cody was the main event of that show.
No, it wasn't.
Because really, that's it.
Yeah.
The day after, everyone's just talking about that Bad Bunny and Damian Priest match. Because it's not just the match was very, very good. That entrance was something else.
In my memory, I have Ollie Davis... Tanahashi'd it. I've swapped them around.
Yes,
like,
yeah,
you know,
Savio Vega as well gets his little Carlito.
Yeah, it's just like
so much fun.
A bonkers show. The Rhea Ripley Zelina Vega match was way better than it should have
than
been.
Than it had any right to
than
be.
Than it had any right to be. Genuinely brilliant.
And again, it's that thing of I think about community a lot and how we for the past even longer, obviously the pandemic stopped us being together, but we've been so divided for about coming on a decade now of the world becoming this like hostile place. And then in wrestling you have all this tribalism and stuff like that as well. When Bad Bunny comes out and you have everybody singing in unison, it's that kind of, it's like when it's like felt like a gig. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you go to a gig and you're all sharing the music together and it's just a joyous sort of experience. There was some real, the vibes were off the chain. You know?
I would say, you know, if I'm comparing this to Fozzy at All In, I would say probably 18% of that audience were Fozzy fans.
Yeah.
Maybe 25% are to push. This was 100% of the audience were Bad Bunny fans and knew that song.
Well, like, because not only is he like a massively streamed artist all over the place, it's the hometown boy. That's the community thing that they're all together and they haven't had a show like this and far too long, and then Zelina gets to have a moment that she's been denied in the past on other occasions, and
she's
like
got a flip flop.
You got to the whole thing. I love it. It was such a warm, positive experience to watch that show.
And it's a show that also has the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Usos rematch that sort of dilutes the WrestleMania main event somewhat.
Yeah. It was that was Roman's first off period.
It was his first off period. It was literally off.
But yeah, that drone shot.
And that's why it ranks highly in Ollie Davis.
It's my number one pay-per-view. I'm pretty sure I ranked it because of that.
At number four, with 33 points, 10 nominations, two of which were top level, WWE Royal Rumble.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Again, I think down for those two Rumbles in particular, because particularly the men's one with the Cody Gunther, that final like 10-minute stretch that they had.
Oh, when they had a match after the match.
Yeah, one of the best like, final twos in recent times, the Iron Man performance of Gunther. And then, you've got the incredible Bloodline main event saga, because it was not headlined by either Rumble, headlined by Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. But no one really talks about the match. Just that incredible angle that ended the show.
Well, even through the match, they're building the angle is the main event, isn't it? You got Sammy just there, just like, is he going to help Roman? Because it was all a test. The storyline work, the segments building up to that match was just excellent. And then, it's where we got the big cathartic Sami Zayn turn on Roman. The fact that, like, when Jay just walked out, because he was so confused, because he invested so much in Sammy when he decided to finally accept him. And also, I love this bit. It wasn't the actual physicality of the chair shot that did Roman in. It was the PTSD of Seth hitting him.
Because he falls in exactly the same way.
And it's not like, it's not a strong chair shot.
No, it's almost like
Sammy's a little bit hesitant in character.
And it didn't hurt him physically. It hurt him emotionally.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And then also the fact that it was just Jimmy didn't think twice. He just went straight in and started battering Sammy down, which is interesting when you think about Jimmy's trajectory for the rest of it. Because Jimmy and Sammy were the friends. They were the ones who brought them in, but it was Jay who found it the most difficult to process. Well, hang on, if I've just accepted Sammy and now Sammy's doing this, what does that mean? The conflict. That's why I look at Jimmy's work as a performer and Jay's work as a performer and Sammy's work as a performer, and I'm like, goodness me, this is some good cinema drama. Like, and then, but then also, that was the first time I felt in the lead up to WrestleMania, I was like, oh, you have the potential here to hit a home run, because every single time there was a near fall that Roman kicked out at 2.999, my genitals were in my throat. I was like, so nervous that he
you
wasn't going to kick
that.
Out. Well, this is it. That's the power of Roman Reigns.
You have to get a rib removed, don't you?
Because I was so worried that he was going to not kick out in time, and the whole thing was, and then suddenly Kevin Owens is suddenly champion, and whoops, that's like, it's not like,
whoops,
I was nervous about it for them, because they were telling such a delicate and interesting and compelling story. And how long has it been since we as WWE fans had that level of compelling story? And I was like, don't f it up.
Don't mess it up.
And then, yeah, the it's so funny to me that I think the women's match that night was like Bianca versus Alexa Bliss. Do you remember Alexa Bliss turned heel?
I'm gonna
Google this. Hold on. Well, I'm 90% certain, because it was Bianca and friends for ages, and then I think Alexa turned heel. Bray versus LA Knight in the
Bray's
last match,
actually.
The pitch black match, which was bizarre but still like fine.
It was Belair versus Alexa Bliss.
Alexa returned heel.
7 minutes and 35 seconds for the Raw Women's Championship.
It was whatever. But then you had Rhea's run in the Royal Rumble, which I think really set her up. You had the match at the end of the men's match where Cody... Because Cody returns at number 30 after Gunther's done an Iron Man. Again, we were talking about it in the Best Wrestlers. There's all the possibility that Cody's going to, you know, be turned on, because he just sort of gets it handed to him when everyone wants Sammy or everyone wants whatever. So that having that little match within a match was so smart, because it showed, and whenever he was chopping him, I was like, oh no, your boob's gonna fall off again. I was like so nervous about it. It was really, really compelling as a show.
Because I remember saying, oh, I think I got so like kind of worked up by this for no reason. And I got kind of sort of worked by it, really. I was like, why wouldn't you just have Cody come out at number one? Why wouldn't you give Cody the Iron Man performance, the big return, as opposed to giving him the number 30 spot, which is like, oh, so Gunther's worked so hard to get to this point, but you just wandered in, John, and you're throwing
that's
this.
That's it.
Yeah, you got it was kind of like John Cena-esque.
Yeah.
But they made it work. Mm. Really, really made it work. It
and
so
this is
good.
The recently discovered magic of booking and pushing more than one person at a time. Who knew?
In at number three, with 37 points, 12 nominations, two of which were top level, WWE Money in the Bank.
Awesome show.
Now, I'm just going to say, some people might look at that and be like, oh, because it was in London and everyone's London. I'd say a large portion of our audience, the nominating audience, are outside of these UK shores. So a lot of Americans voted for this as well. This is not just, because when Clash of the Castle won last year, I was like, oh, you only voted for that because it was in your home nation. And I was like, no, a lot of Americans.
We pushed it hard.
But a lot of Americans vote for it as well. But yeah, Money in the Bank won here. I think, again, it's Bloodline. It's the two Money in the Bank ladder matches, very good. But what people are talking about, and the thing that people go bonkers for most of, especially when I think back to the live show that we did for it, is the Bloodline main event and Roman getting pinned.
So good. But also, that Women's Money in the Bank match.
Oh, yeah.
The story of Bayley and Io Sky, and was it Becky who she was chained?
The way Bayley and Becky were handcuffed as Io clambered over Bayley to get the... visuals! Yeah. I love a visual!
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's like talking about that now with what's happening on SmackDown. Mm. It's crazy watching WWE to go, you were sowing seeds for this 5 months ago.
Yep.
LTST, mate. Bit of LTST.
What?
Long-term storytelling. I've been trying to push it for months. It's not coming off.
It's trying to make Fetch happen.
I will one day.
What else was on the show? Sorry. LA Knight.
Riddle and Gunther.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. What else?
Ricochet and Logan Paul did not go viral.
They
did.
But they nearly went to A&E.
Oh, of course they were in the money. And they completely bollocks.
Yeah.
But Logan was booked terrifically in that men's match.
Yeah.
Where everyone just beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Oh, one of my favorite moments of this year of one of our live shows was
so good. Because they're like, everyone was hating Logan Paul when he made his entrance. And there was this guy who was right at the front of our audience who just opened up a can of Prime in a heelish manner. He just like cracked open this bottle and drank it. It was like, yeah.
Brilliant.
Logan. When I was going, boo. The boos for Logan were so loud, people outside stopped and were looking into the window to see what was why this pub was making
was there
so
a problem?
Much noise. Yeah, why was there a problem in this pub?
Yeah.
And I was like, what is all this noise about? Because it was so loud. I couldn't hear our own commentary, let alone the TV.
And yeah, like there's an element. When I see it that high, I am like, oh, maybe it is because we just felt so fond for it because it was in London and whatever. But that is a massive part of what makes these shows. It's the same with Backlash. You know, the Puerto Rican crowd were a part of what made that show so engaging. The London crowd made this so engaging because, and it was the way that, Roman fed off that in his match, the way that the crowd was so, like, you could hear echoing, like, in the greater Newham area.
I'm so excited then for next year because you've got Elimination Chamber in Australia. You have got Backlash in France. You've got Bash at Berlin.
Baron Corbin's going to beat Roman at that show.
Bash at Berlin in Berlin. Like, they're doing more of these traveling shows, and I think you're just going to get those hotter energies. I'm really, really excited for that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In at number two, we jump up from 37 points to 63.
Oh my God.
Points, 18 nominations, 7 top level. It has beaten number three by 26 points, AEW All In.
Scans.
Biggest wrestling show of all time. A huge milestone achievement that some people are intent on undermining.
Well, that's how tribalism works.
Do you mean like Brent show. Council? Hmm? Brent Council are going to undermine it.
Brent Council, I'm from Michigan, but how many people were there? A concerned citizen.
Poor Brent Council, who are just trying to get on with the job.
They don't even know what the wrestling is.
Oh, we told you, bugger off, you weirdos. But what a show. We were together.
We were together.
My little buddy.
That was great. I was buying you way too many drinks.
Oh, I had so much rosé. It was unreal.
Tell me rosé.
Stop it.
You were... we're there to see CM Punk's final match in AEW.
I know. And I love that match.
It's so great.
Samoa Joe and Punk.
It's actually only 3.25 stars, but it was a, you know.
Was it?
Dave gave it like nothing. There's been a fun trend of people being like, here are all the matches that Dave thinks were better than CM Punk's versus Samoa Joe All In.
I thought it was probably the best match of the night.
I loved it.
That
and
match
like,
was so good.
Punk really playing into it, pulling all the John Cena stuff out. Samoa Joe flipping him off, doing like 12 walkaway spots. At one point, throwing him into the table.
Yeah, throwing him through the announcer. Not through.
Yeah.
The announcer,
yeah.
Through
just going to put you in it.
The announcer's table.
I forgot that first shoulder tackle and I just went to you. He's doing John Cena.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
yeah. He's doing during the Kingston match at Full Gear. Yeah, like I thought he was great. And then I kind of got slightly distracted in the match after that because that's when Sean walked up to me and said, it's happened again.
Great. Brawl in.
And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, it's happened again.
It's a testament to the man's professionalism, though, that he went right out and put on that match.
Yeah.
After having a fight.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, this is it. But also, I mean, like,
he just assaulted his boss, reported. And he went out there and did that.
He's had a big smile on his face. He was like, well, that'll get me fired.
And he really went and sat on the stage in a steel chair and pulled a promo. But that's why, again, it's this weird, what a mad year that the final image of CM Punk in AEW was him walking out with the world title over his shoulder with one hand in the air. He walked out of that arena. We didn't see him again until he walked into a WWE arena. So it's like Wreck-It Ralph. He goes in and then ends up in the wrong, you know.
I forgot until someone had reminded me, not reminded me personally, but I saw it on Twitter and stuff. Do you remember he got the tube?
Yeah.
He was on the Bakerloo of all things.
Line. And yeah. I did a whole thing about this in the Wrestle Talk News. I was like, how did he get on the Bakerloo line? There's no way he got on the Bakerloo line unless he just made this series of errors.
I think he went to the wrong Wembley.
Is that what you think it is?
Well, Wembley Central is on the Bakerloo line. And a lot of people think Wembley Central, if they're not London-based, they think Wembley Central is the one you get for the tube. Yeah. It's not.
But anyway, so...
He'd get an Uber, man.
Make a point.
He's got enough.
He's got a point to make.
He was trying to get fired.
But then, but like, well, there
you,
is that.
You can't get fired if you just get a taxi straight to the venue. But not only like obviously the CM Punk stuff, but you had, I loved the anarchy in the arena.
Oh yeah,
match the anarchy stadium stampede. Yeah, so good.
They're fighting up in 200.
Sting coming out to Metallica, like they actually paid for Metallica. Didn't need to because he came out to a cover of it in his old days. They could have just got a much cheaper version of this. But coming out to that, the main event with MJ. And Adam Cole, I can still very, very much vividly remember the double down three counts. And when they both did the double clothesline and they both pinned each other, and this ripple around the audience of
not like this.
No way.
Yeah.
No way this brilliant is how the show is finishing. Mm. It was brilliant booking because it genuinely got hate of everyone and be like, you idiots. You had the biggest wrestling show of all time and you chose to do this in your main event, and there's anger and anger and anger. And then MJF grabs the microphone, well, Adam Cole grabs the microphone, and MJF goes out whole playing off the draw that they had previously. It was electric in that building. Mm. So good.
And then you've also got Bucks FTR, which was actually my match of the night.
Yeah.
And then Jericho Ospreay as well. What a card.
Seeing Elevated being played out at Wembley Stadium was genuinely breathtaking. Mm. For, you know, for people like, you know, a lot of us who have just been watching Will for so many years in front of like, you know, 20 people, to see him in front of 81,000, nuts.
I was getting my rosé during Fozzy's entrance, so I didn't get to sing along to Judas. But also, I mean, Soraya with We Will Rock You coming out to Queen, you know, all of that. Or Tony Storm coming out to God Save the Queen. It's one of those ones where there is a bias from having been there. I've never been to WrestleMania. I've never had the opportunity. It's a very expensive endeavor to go to any WWE show, but especially to go to WrestleMania, especially when you're UK-based. Mm. So to have a massive stadium show like this in a place that I love because of what it means, like Wembley Stadium is not just a venue that we have. It's not just a place where you can, you know, go and watch matches regularly. It's like
hallowed ground.
It's a mecca in many ways of football. It's a place where it's hallowed ground is exactly what it is. World Cups have been there. Olympics have been there on that turf kind of thing. So to be there, and our view where we were, we had the arch, you know, in front of us, so we could see where the arch was landing. And then to be present for all of those fireworks, like, and it wasn't just one bit of fireworks. Yeah. It was regular bits of fireworks as the lights go down and the starts becoming a little light show. as the House of Black come out, and this was like a day or two days after Bray had passed away, and so everyone gets the fireflies out.
Oh my god, I forgot it was that close.
And like I had I've got a video at home because I knew House of Black were coming out, and I wondered whether or not this was going to happen. And it's beautiful. It is our view of Wembley, which where we were sat on the sort of quite high, but on looking out portrait mode. So I've got this full Wembley, and the lights all start coming on. And it's one of the most beautiful things. It's such a special memory, this collective, again, community, the British community, the British wrestling community, and how AEW is quite special because we sort of get it for free and they don't come to us very often. It was a really magical night. Which, you know, build or otherwise, I think lived up to the hype, and that's why they're selling quite well for the second one.
And also, over 30,000 tickets sold at the time of recording. You know, it looks like they're going to do it again, you know, for the next year. But like, I think of the weekend was awesome, like as a whole, because we had the Rev Pro show, we went to Defy and things like that. So I love it, genuinely felt like WrestleMania weekend. But that Sunday, I just saw so many friends. And like, we went to the pub. I went there pretty early doors, about 11 o'clock, got in there, got a table, and I just text loads of people. We'd arranged, I was like, we're in this pub, I'm here, just drop by. Like, you don't have to spend the whole day here, but it would just be great to see. I saw so many people. I got to meet some people I've never met before, but just get to see and hang out with people.
And knowing, like, I know also it felt tailored to the audience as well. Grado being there, like, you know, that was lovely. Like, all of our, like, you know, colleagues or whatever in the commentary sphere being there, coming over from America.
Simon Miller was on the show.
Yeah. Right. Simon Miller was on the show. Like, this is it. Like, it felt like a moment, like a capital M moment in wrestling history, that this company that has existed for literally 5 years, less than, pulls off this show at Wembley. Like, mad.
Which means at number one, it beat All In by 44 points.
NXT No Mercy.
107 points, 27 nominations. Bear in mind, we had over 30, 27 nominations, 13 of which were top level, WrestleMania 39.
Mm-hmm. Night one.
So we do classify it on the form. It says two night shows are one thing. Everyone did make a point, though, when they voted for WrestleMania 39, it was brackets, but really just for night one, close brackets.
Because you could have Wrestle Kingdom as two nights, right? Like,
we've done it previously, but we've always said it's one nomination, because I'm not having WrestleMania night one and night two in a five.
But it is an interesting thing to think about, because we've had all these conversations about, does the main event of night one count as a WrestleMania main event? Like, where personally, I think that it does. This occasion, like, if I think of Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, that felt like a WrestleMania main event, and that was the main event of night one.
But it's like, with a caveat, it's not the main event of the weekend.
Well, that's the question. That's the conversation. I think if they feel distinct enough, it can feel like that. This one was interesting because it felt like a weekend long story. I think that moment that Sammy and Kevin had those belts in the air, and the Usos are sat on the outside, and they've spoken about having a moment together where they were like, we've sort of done it. You tell me that's not a main event. Do you know what I mean? However, it was feeding into the main event of night two. And I would argue that pretty much everything up to the last sort of 5 minutes of night two, the whole thing was amazing.
Yeah.
Night two was definitely the weaker of the two. Night one was a perfect show. Night two was the triple threat, which was like easily the match of the weekend, and the incredibleness of Roman and Cody. But I think a lot of night two is a bit, it's fine, it's very mid, but I think it's because night one was so great that a lot of people kind of looked down a little bit on night two, myself included. But man, there's no denying that the aura of main event of night two, Cody and Roman, was unbelievable in terms of when you compare it to everything else. And I think this is the first time, I would say for me, this is the first time where night one has felt like a main event. That, because I think, because it fed into night two. This was the first year, I would say, it's main event without that caveat. Because Bianca and Sasha felt like a main event, but it's caveated because it's main event of night one. Whereas this one, I was like, no, that is a WrestleMania main event. Because it was, like you said, it's a weekend. It then felt like, because of that, that one feeds into this one, that's a show in of itself. It's not two nights. That is one show spread over two nights.
For me, it's still a co-main event in the WWE way, which just means it goes on third from last or second. It's the same idea. But the idea that the top two pay-per-views here are All In and WrestleMania, that's what it should be.
Yes, exactly.
The biggest shows of the year for each company should be the best shows of the year, and it hasn't been that way for so long.
What was last year's?
Last year's was WrestleMania 38, won our poll last year.
Dog.
But before that, it wasn't within the conversation because a lot of WrestleManias were just like, you know, WrestleMania 35, it's too long.
That wasn't a great show.
Or it's just, you know, the pandemic WrestleMania, which is too weird. And it's so, like, WrestleMania hasn't really been in much of the conversation. Also then, because AEW kept putting on banging pay-per-views, they dominated our top 10 and particularly the top 5. But now, like, since Triple H has taken over, there's been this real shift. And actually, like, last year's WrestleMania, where again was a tale of two halves, because night one was really, really good, and then night two was bonkers. Like, night two was the Vince show. Yeah. It was just really, really weird. But this one, like, felt like a whole... But I think, like, Triple H's... WrestleMania does feel like the big show again. Like, without Paul, it feels like just the biggest show that they do, in the same way that All In felt like the biggest show this company could do.
Can I ask, and maybe this is a conversation for a different podcast when there's more time, but do you have an idea of what would make you feel like Night One's main event is not a co-main event?
It just will
feel like that inherently.
It's like, you know, the end of Hunger Games 3 Part 1.
Right.
It's always a setup for the next thing. It's one show for me. We voted for it as one show.
Mm. Yeah.
Same with Wrestle Kingdom. Mm. All the time they've been doing that. It's the final one for me.
Yeah. Mm. So I feel like if Punk does main event WrestleMania next year, I don't feel like that is the main event that Punk is after. Kind of in the same way that when Kevin Owens won the Universal title, he was on Jericho's podcast, almost like justified to be like, well, this feels like it's the world title that you won. Like, this feels like as an important title. It's like, I don't think it does, though. Doesn't Kev?
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't. But, I mean, it does now, but we didn't when Kev had it. And I think that's the same thing here. It's like, night one main event is never going to feel as important as night two main events. So maybe CM Punk's be like, well, I got that main event. But I've already had a WrestleMania main event when I faced The Undertaker. So maybe now I need that night two one. But I don't know. Like, honestly, I think it's a feeling, it's a vibe.
Yeah.
For me, this was the first year that it felt like it didn't have that caveat.
Mm.
But if it is CM Punk versus Seth Rollins, that's a caveat. So yeah, there you go. Those are our pay-per-views of the year. What was your personal favorite? Leave a comment down below and tell us your thoughts. Also, what did you think of our top 5? Do you agree? Do you disagree?
Just an interesting point of order. Four WWE pay-per-views in the top 5.
Yeah. So last year...
Madness. Like,
last year, it was an even split. Last year, there were 5 WWE shows, 4 AEW shows, and 1 AAA show. That was the makeup of last year's. This year, it's 5 WWE, 5 AEW. So AEW have actually crawled one back this year.
It's just fascinating to me, though, that like I would have expected... If you'd have said that the top 5 was mostly WWE shows, I would have... Like, this year makes sense, but, like, in the past couple of years...
Oh, in the past couple of years.
As if.
It would never have happened. As I said, like, you know, you look at 2020, dominated by AEW shows. But 2023, dominated by WWE shows. And that's the pendulum swing. But yeah, leave a comment down below. What did you think? We'll be back with more great content like this over this Christmas period. Thank you all so much for watching. I've been Luke Owen, DAD. That has been the Professor Dan Layton. That's been Ollie Davis. Jam that jam.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.